all, and that makes us family. Family's willing to fight for each other. Family's willing to die for each other. Let's go, AU!
War Eagle, this is Warbloggle with the 17th episode of the Warbloggle podcast. Yes, it's been a while. It's been pretty much a year. I was looking back at my podcast on Spotify, where you can listen, or Apple Music, or all those places. Not Google now. They killed Google Podcast, by the way. But yeah, it's been a year. It was my last podcast was after Auburn beat Texas A&M in basketball. So let me tell you how these things usually work. I coach a lot of baseball in the spring, in the summer, in the fall. I run an organization, and it takes up all my time. When we're not doing blogging and football and all that kind of stuff in football season, I'm doing baseball all the time. So December and January are the dead times for that, and that's when I get back to thinking I'm going to do a podcast and wanting to do a podcast, because those are things, that's what I like to do. I also like playing more video games and playing guitar more and playing more music. I get into that, and then around end of January, February, when baseball starts to kind of get going, I stop doing it. But, and I probably said this last year, I've made a New Year's resolution that I'm going to do a podcast a week. I'm going to try to record them on Wednesday or Thursday. It is Thursday, January 2nd when I'm recording this. And I will, is it 2nd? Yes, I will try to post it every Friday. So I want y'all to hold me to it. I want you to cuss me out, DM me, and tell me how terrible I am if I don't do it. But even if it's 20 minutes, whatever, I'm going to try to pump out a podcast a week. Also, you know, there's Bloggle Spots, a thing I was kind of doing in football. I brought it back this year. People used to enjoy those, apparently. You know, little 10, 15 minute talks, usually while I was in car line or driving home from whatever. And then when Auburn started losing games, and it was just nothing but, hey, we're awful. It's kind of hard to keep that up. But anyway, I've been doing this for, been doing Warblogging since 2008-ish, 9-ish. It really really picked up in 2010. So we're talking over 15 years now. Keeping it going, and I want it to be a thing. I want it to be not necessarily my job, but something that I can do more than just tweet about here and there. And it's been that before, but, you know, kids and stuff. But anyway, nobody cares about all that, but I'm just telling you how this usually works, and I'm going to try to hold it up and keep this going at least for the whole year and then get it into a routine. But yes, so let's talk Auburn stuff. Right now, a few hours ago, as I'm recording this, Georgia lost to Notre Dame. Ha ha, whatever. Just didn't seem like I cared too much, but I'm going to talk about the playoffs later. Auburn's not in the playoffs. We're going to talk about something that Auburn is in right now, and that's basketball season. Auburn hosts Missouri on Saturday. Missouri's not very good. They're not very good by SEC standards, and I'll get into that in a second, but there should be near the middle bottom of the league, and it's a home game, so I don't think there's going to be too much to worry about that there. But let's talk about the dumbness, and it's funny. I look back at my podcast that I have done over the last two or three years when I do talk about this and we get into basketball. It's always the same. It's always the AP poll is stupid. We're better than what they want to say, and we're going to kind of talk about that here now. But this year, it's never been more stupid. But first off, if you're watching this on YouTube, I guess I'll put it on Twitch as well. I'm not sure what I'll do about Twitter, but if you're hearing this as audio, you're not going to see this, but I've got a video stream going with it as well. I'm pulling up a tweet that Blake Lovell, or Lovell, I don't know, basketball guy, does a lot of good SEC basketball stuff. He's got a tweet that basically goes over, he tweeted this right before the new year, but basically goes over what Auburn has done in non-conference play for this season. In 13 games. 13 games, they had 12 wins, 6 quad 1 wins, which I think is more than we had all last year. 2 wins versus AP top 5. That was Iowa State and, why is it escaping me now? Houston, I guess, at that time. Only losses to the net number 3 Duke, which was away by 6 points. Unbeaten at home, unbeaten in neutral court. Top 5 scoring margin, which is plus 23.5. Top 10 strength of schedule. So we're not just blowing people out and killing people because of that. We're playing a top 10 schedule. Number one in the net, which is the poll that the tournament uses to seed teams. Number one in KenPom, which y'all know I've hated KenPom and whatever in the past. And I still don't. It's mainly because when Auburn was good, they'd still have Auburn at 24. And then Auburn goes to the Final Four. Whatever. And I know it's not a person. It's a calculation. I know it's not biased. I know. But a calculation can be skewed, wrong, whatever. Number one in Torvik. Number one in Evan Maya. Number one in those other ones are kind of like KenPom. Number one in BPI, which is something power something. Number one in offensive efficiency and top 10 in defensive efficiency. They're like the number one offense in KenPom history if you're looking at those numbers. The gap between 1 and 2 is like the same from 2 to 25 or something like that in terms of the KenPom points. However they come up with that average. However Ken Pomeroy and his algorithm comes up with that average. This is quite possibly, it's a long way to go. And it's kind of unfair, which I'll get into in a little bit. We're going to judge this Auburn team against possibly the best SEC has ever been, top to bottom. And they're most likely not going to win every game. They're most likely going to lose multiple games because that's basketball. It'll happen anyway. But it's kind of unfair to judge this team against, the Jabari year that went, we were number one, or the Final Four year, or last year, which I looked again, my two podcasts ago, which was a year ago, I said that was the best team Auburn's ever had. This is by far the best team Auburn's ever had. There have been superstars. There's been more NBA talent, maybe. But the way this team works, it is the best team there's ever been. And Jani Broome, he was always good. There'd be times when he was bad, just like all of them. But he makes everything look simple. When Auburn destroyed Ohio State and we were just sitting up there, like not caring about the game 5 minutes in because it was already a blowout, it looks like a man playing against middle school teams. And he's not even that. The weird thing is he's not flashy. He's not LeBron James. He's not like Michael Jordan. He's not just flipping around people, dunking on folks. He makes weird shots. That little side bank shot he's got down, the little 7 or 8 footer where, turnaround jumper. I mean, it's just, we make shots. That's a huge thing about this team, and I know it is so simple and so stupid, but that's what basketball is we make shots. Like, threes have come here and there. We've been mostly good, but it's been a little down the last few games. But we just make shots. We make very good, simple shots. We make tough shots. And it's just like all of the stuff works together. There have been multiple games this year, especially because he got hurt, where Broome has sat for 8 minutes. And there's some drop off, but it's not like game losing drop off. Again, got a long way to go. Got the whole SEC season to go. But again, like I said, it's kind of unfair because, we love to say Jabba, just Auburn being Auburn, whatever. It is a very Auburn situation. This is not Auburn doing anything, but it's a very Auburn situation. To where we possibly have the best team we've ever had, maybe one of the best teams ever in basketball. And I know people are going to scoff at that because people love to just think about 80s and 90s, North Carolina, Duke, UConn, whatever, and act like no team could ever touch those teams. Yeah, they can. But, we've got possibly the best team Auburn's ever had, one of the best teams ever in terms of stats right now. And now we've got to go through the toughest SEC there's maybe ever been top to bottom. Really not a terrible team. Not a terrible team. So it's just kind of, we're going to judge it. That's what's so dumb about it. It's like, we're going to lose 2 or 3 games just because we're playing a tough, we go on the road. We play Texas on the road, number 2, the second game. They're decent. Of course we have that situation where it's a team where we could go win it all. And that sounds weird to say, but Auburn has the number one odds to win it all. In the KenPom, they are picked to win more games than anybody. They're picked to go win it. So that's very weird to say because a lot of times we go, oh, we're good. We're going to win it all. No, it's literally backed up with every metric. But Auburn's got to do it against the toughest there ever was, supposedly. Let's look at this. If you're watching, I've got another tweet from Blake. He's doing some good stuff here. Auburn, or excuse me, the top six, the 16 college basketball teams with the toughest remaining strength of schedule, according to ESPN's BPI, the Power Index. The top 16 in the nation. I'm just going to read them, and maybe y'all can figure this out. The top 16 in the nation. Number one, I'm not going to give you the number every time. I'm just going to say, number one, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Vandy, LSU, Texas, Kentucky, Alabama, Texas A&M. Number nine is Auburn, right in the middle. 10, Oklahoma, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri, Florida. Did y'all notice something there? That's the top 16 in the nation. Did you hear any team that wasn't an SEC team? No, you didn't. So, the top 16 teams in the nation are going to have, or not the top 16 teams, the top 16 strengths of schedule are all played within the SEC. So what does that mean? Because we're about to start the SEC schedule. Every team is playing, every team in the SEC is playing a tougher schedule than the rest of the nation. And guess what? It's because they're playing in their own conference. That is ridiculous. I had to read this like five times. I was like, there is no way this is saying that. There's not a single team in the nation, not Gonzaga, and of course they're probably last, not Kansas, not Duke or whoever. I mean, just because they're good doesn't mean they're playing good teams. But, you know, Kansas usually goes out of conference and plays some weird team. And no, the entire SEC makes up the hardest strength of schedule in the nation. That is crazy. So that just furthers it. And, you know, Auburn's number nine. Why? Because Auburn can't play Auburn. Let's say Auburn could play Auburn. That'd probably put them up there with number two, three, four. I don't know what South Carolina's got. I don't know. I guess they're looking at home and away. You play some teams twice. I don't know. I could go look at that and make that distinction. Auburn gets Tennessee at home this year. Maybe that's a tad bit easier than South Carolina going to Tennessee. Whatever. Obviously, not everybody plays the same schedule, not home and away. Everybody plays everybody. Some play each other twice. We'll play Alabama twice. We'll probably play Ole Miss twice. I can't remember. But that is psycho. That is ridiculous. And, of course, when Auburn has the chance, when Auburn's got the team to do it, they've got to do it against the toughest thing ever. So that's not Jabba, but it's like just Auburn's situation being an Auburn situation. That's Jazz-Baz. Josh Boss. I don't know. It's ridiculous. So, you know, it is what it is. It's like, okay, to be the best, you got to beat the best. No, really? Let's say, I mean, Auburn's going to make the tournament. They're 100%. You can't say 100%. They're 99.9%. I saw some other ranking. It might have been KenPom that said there were like three teams that were 99.9% going to make the tournament. Auburn was one of them. I think Alabama was 99.8 or something like that. But Auburn's going to make the tournament, but this could hurt their seed. They could be a four seed because we've got to play this. Gonzaga plays nobody, and they could be a one seed. Kansas plays two or three tough teams, and they could be a one seed. So, you know, in terms of getting into the tournament, I'm not worried about it. I am worried about the fact that it could kill your seeding. I mean, this could almost, you know, one or two teams are going to rise to the top, probably Auburn, Tennessee, but it could almost. Tennessee has the 14th. Easiest, if you want to say that. Florida, we could say Florida. Florida's undefeated right now. They have the easiest SEC schedule. But my point is, you're going to have all these national teams that apparently aren't playing tough competition because they're not playing in the SEC. And, you know, they could be a two seed when four teams in the SEC could be a two seed or something, whatever. So it's not fair to fair, whatever. I'm just saying the word fair. It's not fair that Auburn's got the best team they've ever had and they're having to do this. But really, if we're just comparing teams and going, is this the best team Auburn has ever had? Could be, but it might not look like it record-wise because of what we've got to go through. So anyway, now let's get to the stupid part of it all. As we always do, if you're watching, I've got the top 10 for the AP. For the third, fourth week in a row, you know, since Auburn lost to Duke, that means they had to drop. But We've still got us ranked ahead of Duke, so that makes no sense. Tennessee, you know, beat Norfolk State by 15 this week. Their signature win, I think, is Baylor, who is maybe dropped out of the top 25 at this point. But yes, two-thirds of the AP voters are voting Tennessee ahead of Auburn. Why? Nobody has a clue why. I can go back to that first tweet. I'll go real quick. Top number one in net, number one in KenPom, number one in Torvik, number one in Evan Meyer, number one in BPI, number one in offensive efficiency, top five scoring margin. The only loss was to the number three team, and it was away by 6 points, which is going to happen. You know, whatever. It's basketball. That's why they play so many games in basketball. It's not like football where you can kind of determine the better team one time, usually. You know, in this top 10, Auburn beat number three, which is Iowa State. There's still some idiots that had Iowa State ahead of Auburn. Now, that is funny to say because Duke beat Auburn, and Duke is below Auburn. They've got two losses, though. Houston, Iowa State, who was the other one we beat? North Carolina, they've kind of fallen off. But Auburn has done immensely more than Tennessee. Immensely. But now, thanks to poll tracker, AP poll tracker, or whatever it is.com, where they post everybody's ballots, it's easy to call out these idiots. And so I, you know, knowing these types of people, which are most people that, you know, most guys make it $32,000 to write about the local basketball game, you know, they're going to get spiteful. They're going to get, all these dumb Auburn fans bother me all week. I ain't ranking them number one. If you don't think that doesn't run through their head subconsciously, you're crazy. That is exactly what's going on in most of this. Now, you may notice if you're looking at the tweet or whatever this image I've got up, Tennessee has 41 first place votes. Auburn's got 20. Last week, Auburn had 21 and Tennessee had 41. So some guy, you can go, I tweeted him a few days ago. He just said, it was Christmas time, I get it, or New Year's. He said he got busy and didn't submit his ballot. Okay, well, kick him out. Now, the weird thing is he had Auburn ranked number one. Auburn was 21 votes, I think. I'm pretty sure. Auburn had 21 votes last week. We got 20 this week. Tennessee stayed at 41. This guy didn't turn in his ballot. He said something like, maybe I won't get dumb tweets now that I didn't turn in my ballot. No, you're going to get dumb tweets because you didn't turn in your ballot. Why do you have a ballot? Again, does this matter to the end of the world, to the tournament? No, it doesn't. But they put these numbers next to teams' names when you play a game on there, on ESPN, on whatever. They put numbers there for a reason. So it matters to something. And when you can tell somebody, hey, we were ranked number one the whole second half of the year, or we were ranked number one for 20 weeks in 2024, 2025, that matters. So you've got every unbiased computer out there saying Auburn's the best team, one of the best teams possibly ever. I mean, we can easily say Auburn's in the top stat-wise right now, what we've done, top 30 teams of all time. They're saying that. In KenPom rankings, they're saying the best offense, the best gap between one and two of all time. So you've got all that happening, and you've got 41 people, 42 if you count the one guy who didn't vote. You've got all that happening, and these people are still sitting at home going, I'm putting Tennessee number one. Look at that. I've watched Tennessee many times. I don't get people's obsession with Tennessee. It's like as soon as Auburn got good, number one, Alabama started cheating and paying people before that was legal because they had to keep up. And now the only reason Alabama is remotely cares about basketball is because Auburn's good at it. But number two, it's like as soon as Rick Barnes got there, it has been Tennessee love fest all over SEC Network. I'm not saying they don't like Auburn, but it's like double Tennessee love fest. I don't know what it is. Maybe Rick Barnes is just a nice guy. I have not watched a Tennessee team and in this entire stretch of Auburn being good because Auburn has beaten them most of the time in that. They own the record. If you want to look at Bruce Pearl since he's been at Auburn against Tennessee, maybe throw out the first few years where he was fixing things. Since Auburn has been consistently good, it hadn't been close. Like, bad, like mediocre teams. Like the years we were kind of okay, went to Tennessee and beat Tennessee, destroyed them in the SEC tournament. I just don't get it. It's like the year that we won the SEC regular season and they tied us and we beat them. And, you know, the last game of the season, they won a share of it, but we hold the tiebreaker all over the place. Tennessee, SEC champions. No, you were the co-champion at best, and you did not have the tiebreaker. That's what you were. But it has been an absolute love fest. They love Tennessee basketball. They love South Carolina football. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I have watched many Tennessee games, non-Auburn games, non-Auburn-Tennessee games. They don't look – they look okay. I mean, they look good, but not like, oh, yeah, we're just going to ignore every stat in the history of the world that says Auburn's the best team and keep them up there. Because you've got spiteful nerds that never played sports, guys that have this tiny little bit of power. Everybody loves The Office. You know, Dwight gets to pick the insurance or whatever, gets to tell people when they get to go home, whatever that episode was. And Jim says, this is the smallest amount of power I've ever seen go to somebody's head. And that's what the AP poll is. Again, does it matter? No. But it's talked about. It is put out there. It is tweeted immediately every time it comes out. It's there. We talk about a lot dumber things and act like a lot dumber things in baseball, basketball, football, whatever. More than the AP poll. But people love to say, oh, just keep on winning. Okay, we are. Yep, we did. Just kept on winning. Got the best team in the world, but Tennessee's up above us, and two-thirds of the voters feel that way. There's still idiots that have Auburn ranked number 3. 2 weeks ago, there were guys that had them ranked number 4. This was after beating Ohio State by like 5 million. This was after winning the Maui Invitational, which had some of the best teams it's had in a while. But, you know, we got to be spiteful and whatever. And now, you know, like I said, let's go back to the other tweet. Auburn's got the 9th toughest schedule remaining in the nation because they can't play themselves. And I really need to go through this and say, why does South Carolina have the toughest? Because they play Auburn twice? I don't know. But anyway, so now, you know, Auburn's going to lose 2-3 games, maybe more. Don't know. Probably 4. I mean, you could in good years, going 14-4, 13-5 has won you the SEC. So, you know, it's not like that's out of the realm of possibility and that makes you a bad team. But, of course, to these idiots that have Tennessee ranked 41, or excuse me, the 41 idiots that have Tennessee ranked number 1, while Tennessee has the 14th toughest schedule, they're going to feel justified. So, justification is going to be a big part of this podcast, is people feeling justified for the absolute wrong things. Picking things to make yourself feel justified. And I'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, Auburn plays Missouri this Saturday at like 3:30. It's kind of a weird time. If you want a ticket, I hope you already had one. We have reached critical mass. If you go to Facebook and look at the Auburn Ticket Exchange, it's all these people that claim to have never been to a game. Their grandmother's in town. We lost our eye in the War of 1812, and we just got a replacement, so we want to see our first Auburn basketball game ever. My babies really want to see Dylan Cardwell. Sorry. I mean, it's fun and all. I mean, Auburn's been number 1. I don't get it. I feel like this year it's even worse. Yes, we won the Maui Invitational. We've beaten some really good teams. But it seems like it wasn't even that bad when Auburn was number 1. I got a $75 standing room only ticket, and I'm not going to tell you where I stand because it's the perfect spot. But, you know, it seems like now it's like we're not even number 1. We haven't got the SEC play, and I don't know. But we lose 2 games, they'll drop. But anyway, if you want a ticket, we have reached that point. I mean, it was like standing room only was $175 on Facebook. So I wouldn't expect to not spend $1 million. But then, of course, you watch the game and there's 100 empty seats. Whatever. Anyway, okay. So that's basketball for today, for this one. Football-wise, we got the the portal just closed up. I don't know what there's sessions of the portal. The portal is one of those things. It's like targeting. I can't stand the targeting, but obviously it helps your team sometimes. So you pull for it every once in a while. And I'll talk about that in a little bit too. But the portal, again, I hate it, but it's one of those things that helps your team sometimes. So you're kind of like, oh yay, I like it now. But Auburn at one point had the number one portal class in the nation. I think we ended top 10. It's kind of like the signing day. I think we were number three at one point. We ended seventh, somewhere along there. And I'm trying to pull up the, maybe I can find the, it was, some, we're in the top 10 somewhere. But we obviously, kind of the big one is Jackson Arnold. Just big one because he's a quarterback, former five-star from Oklahoma. He did not play against Auburn in Auburn. In the game, we definitely 1,000% should have won. But he, there was, you know, certain things where he didn't kind of mesh with the offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator ended up getting fired. So it's not really sure how good he is or whatever it was. I've got it right now. Yes, we finished seventh in the portal rankings, according to On3. Texas Tech was number one. That's weird. But a lot of times with these rankings, just like recruiting rankings, teams that had more spots, you know, sometimes you only pull in 20 guys and some teams pull in 28, and those teams are ranked higher because they get more points for having that, whatever. But anyway, Auburn lost 18 in the portal and brought in 14, and ended up paying 3.2 more. We added 3 4 stars. We had lost none. But yeah, seventh, right behind LSU and Oregon. Top five were Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Michigan, Missouri, and Oregon. LSU, Auburn, UCLA, Washington, Miami. It is what it is. Alabama is getting absolutely destroyed in the portal. Have they added anybody? They keep losing people. They lost a wide receiver today. Anyway, don't care. Let me pull up the list. Jackson Arnold. This is not a good way to do this. Sorry. Eric Singleton Jr. Sorry, that was the other. The wide receiver from Georgia, 4-star. Came out of high school as a 3, I think, but was their number one receiver. He's from Douglasville, Georgia, sophomore. He and Arnold, and then there was the offensive lineman. Sorry, I didn't have Xavier Atkins. He was a linebacker. What is his name? Dallas Walker was defensive lineman from Texas A&M / Western Kentucky. Mason Murphy was from USC, inside interior off OL. Ashton Daniels, quarterback from Stanford. This is really organized how I'm doing this. What is his name? Xavier Chaplin from Virginia Tech. So we got, what has been Auburn's problem for the last 10 years? Offensive line. There's been some decent ones. There's been some okay ones. There's been some awful ones. But we love to blame the quarterback. I'm not sure if you noticed, but Bo Nix is a pretty decent quarterback for the Denver Broncos this year. But we love to blast him because he left the pocket and all that kind of stuff. And then who else left the pocket? Every single quarterback we've had since or before. Why would that be? Because offensive line hasn't pass blocked. Now, this year it was not awful pass blocking. Peyton Thorne did not run for his life, kind of like he did the year before. But quarterback, obviously we needed some because all of them left. Y'all realize that? We had 0 returning quarterbacks. Obviously some of them left because of this. But now we have Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels from Stanford, and why can't I think of the other one? I forgot Sam Jackson left. Walker White, we barely knew ye. Jackson, or did we not pull in a third? I thought we did. I don't know. There's one. And people are screaming right now who it is, but I can't think of who it is. And this website is not good at figuring it out. But, you know, portal giveth, portal taketh away. I don't know. We know that the offensive line, Jeremiah Wright's coming back. So we should know. We know our offensive line. We just now have a 5-star quarterback, a pretty good backup with the guy from Stanford and whoever's behind him. I cannot think. I'm picturing him right now. They had a picture. They had a graphic, a really dumb graphic that Auburn put out that said top best, highest rated quarterback room in history. We did it with Walker White. Then he left, and then we updated it. It was weird. Y'all bear with me. I got to figure this out. Top rated. This is terrible. Deuce Knight, you idiot. Deuce Knight. I don't know. Well, I was thinking Portal. That was my problem. I was thinking Portal. Deuce Knight, yes. So we've got a five-star, a former five-star, and like a 3-4-star. I don't know what Daniels is, but he's all right. So, yes, pretty good quarterback room. Got some experience. I think Ashton's got a little more experience than Jackson Darnold. Arnold was the number 10 overall recruit in the 2023 class. He's good. We don't have to act like he was terrible just because he was on Oklahoma and Oklahoma wasn't that great and he wasn't starting. That's the easy thing to do. We love to jump to conclusions on quarterbacks. We love to crap on Peyton Thorne because the Cal game interceptions, when more than half of them were not his fault. And he was fine after that. Okay, not terrible. Not a game loser. Not a game winner sometimes. But, you know, we love to just immediately know the answer to the equation. We know, oh, Jackson Arnold's not good because he's not starting on a not great team. No, there's other reasons sometimes. The other guy that we should have beaten, he might have fit that offense better. But anyway, I don't care. We're not there yet. I'm not worried about how Jackson Arnold is. We'll see. Well, let's go through spring and fall and all that and see if they live up to their millions of dollars. But if we want to talk football that's happening right now, the playoffs. So we had Georgia tonight, as I'm recording this, a few hours ago, lost to Notre Dame. Obviously had the backup quarterback. I don't think he was that much worse than Carson Beck. I don't know. You know, Carson Beck is the prototypical Georgia-Alabama quarterback. You're like, how in the world is this guy playing quarterback? He's surrounded usually by a really strong offensive line that can give him all day, and wide receivers are going to be wide open, and you just throw the ball in that direction, and it's usually going to work. I mean, it's Kirby has 100% done what Saban did, and that's fine. It worked, obviously, except for tonight. But it's like, I don't know. It's one of those things where it feels like every high school quarterback could play in that system. Like anybody that can complete a pass can play in those systems. But Georgia did not have what they normally have. They did not have the wide receivers they've normally had. They had more drops than ever. I mean, it was like every other pass was hitting the ground, and it was just, this is not what Georgia is. And I tweeted this earlier. It's like, I hate that college kids these days, Auburn college kids, and for semi-good reason, I mean, I get it, they don't know a bad Georgia. And I'm not saying Georgia's terrible. I mean, they won the SEC championship and whatever, but they don't remember Georgia not being able to do anything in the weakest SEC East there ever was. Here's the, if you're looking, I've got the bracket up. But they don't remember Mark Richt like winning six games in a league that had absolute trash. Like, they don't remember that. And they think that Georgia's just been this Alabama juggernaut. Alabama was not good for a decade. But when you watch it, when you watch SportsCenter or whatever, all you hear about is juggernaut, elite. You just don't see teams like this Georgia team. You just don't see teams. I mean, they said it about Texas yesterday at Arizona State. Arizona State just hadn't seen players like this. Arizona State should have won the game. Yeah, it was a weird start at the beginning, but should have won the game. But I don't care about this. I'm not talking about the games. I want to talk about this system. We've got the dumb system with the portal. Again, sometimes it's good. You like it when it helps you, but in general, it is not, you know, any of these arguments get thrown under the whole, oh, get off, you know, quit screaming at the clouds, old man. This is how it's got to be, or this is how it is, or whatever. There are rules for 100 years for a reason. They made rules for a reason. And then we got to a point where you can't tell anybody no, and everybody deserves everything. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but we got there in sports. And now I feel like they talk about legislation and all this kind of stuff, contracts, which they absolutely have to do, or it's going to become the worst sporting situation ever. You cannot have the NFL with no regulations. You can't have people just flipping teams. I know I'm back on the portal. I was going to talk about the playoff, but we're kind of in the same realm. You can't have that. And, oh, just let them live their life. Go get your money. You're just jealous you don't have that money. No, I enjoy watching the sport that it has been before. I don't enjoy watching, you know, Ohio State had a transfer quarterback. Kansas State. He had no Ohio State to him. He was Kansas State's quarterback. Notre Dame came from Duke. Who else? Oregon had Dylan Gabriel had come from Oklahoma and Central Florida. Arizona State. I don't know. I know his dad played at BYU. He probably came from somewhere else. Let's look back. I mean, it's just that's not. It's not what college football, it's not what, I mean, the NFL has more team building and building a program than college football does right now. It's literally just flip, flip, flip. I coach travel ball. That's like almost all I do for certain parts of the year. And, you know, everybody makes a joke. There's the transfer portal in travel ball, and there really is. I mean, there's no contracts. It's not that serious. Nobody's making money, whatever, obviously. But, you know, you've got one dad that gets mad about something and he immediately goes to some other team. And this kid, mad he wasn't playing shortstop, so he goes to this other team. But this, we're doing that now with millions of dollars in it and teams with millions of dollars and programs and whatever, just dealing with all this stuff, all this money, all this organization, all this preparation, all this stuff, and then it turns into, I don't like it here. Or it turns into, I can go into the portal, even though I love it here, I can go into the portal and go make $2 more million to go to Oregon. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Now, again, I'm all for capitalism. I'm all for people making money. But that doesn't mean it has to be allowed within a certain system. Like, we're not talking about somebody on the street selling services here. Talking about, you know, people, lives, families have all this stuff invested in this, in people, in players and stuff, and a situation working and organization and structure. And again, preparation. You can go all the way through spring practice and learn the system, and a coach spend their time teaching you how to do something. And then you go, it looks like I'm going to be second on the depth chart. I'm out. Again, it's free country. You can do what you want. But that's not what this, it doesn't, a free country does not mean that every system has to work like a free country. That's not saying we got to be oppressive and whatever. But just because you can do, quote unquote, do what you want to do in America, doesn't mean that that's what a structured sports organization has to run like. There's got to be rules. There's got to be some telling people no. There's got to be some organization and all that stuff. Because it's going to fall apart. It is going to, I mean, you see it right now. I'm glad Georgia and Alabama lost. But you can tell 100% they are nowhere near as good as they were, because the second string five-star can now go be the starter at wherever, SMU, I don't know. And that's fine, but it has to be done in some, there has to be some structure. Has to be some structure. Now, again, for the people that just sit there on their couch and eat their nachos and drink their beer and tweet about games, which we've all been that person before in some way, all you care about is, oh, my team's winning now because I got this guy. But what you're watching is going to fizzle out. And, you know, sometimes it hurts teams. Georgia Tech didn't have their starting wide receiver in their bowl game, and they lost. Guess where he is? At Auburn. Are we glad? Sure. But that is a that is going to fizzle out one of the greatest sports there is. I know ESPN loves to tell you the NFL is better because they're up there in NFL land, and they do put a ton of time and all that into this. But, you know, they have reasons for telling you the things they do because they want you to watch it. And so I guess I'll parlay this into now the college football structure, the playoff structure. I see all these people justifying having 12 teams when everybody knows good and well at least six of them, at least six, are nowhere near the best team in the nation. And this, it's not as bad as March Madness, which, yes, March Madness is fun. It's a great event. It's a great 4 days that first weekend. Everybody loves watching all the games. And I know I'm just this dumb old codger that you know, is, again, screaming out of cloud here. But it is a terrible way to figure out the best team in the nation because people want to see whoever it was that beat Purdue 2 years ago, Fairleigh Dickinson, and Yale beat Auburn last year. And I'm not saying it because it's Auburn. I said it the year before. But it is a terrible way because there are going to be upsets in sports. That's why but you have the regular season, a long, drawn-out regular season to figure these things out, to figure out, all right, over this long stretch, here's the winner, or here's a best team. Here's a good team. Maybe not the best team, but here's a good team because they played 12 games and lost none. Okay? But now you're allowing teams that obviously were not the best a chance to upset somebody and go and possibly win. And people who love Disney movies or people who want to have their heartstrings pulled think it's so great that that team beat the big bad whatever. No, all that did was take away from the long, drawn-out regular season. All that did was take that and throw it in the trash because this one time on this one night or that one play in the fourth quarter decided to determine who the champion was. So then you got to figure out, what is the champion? Are we talking tournament champion? I mean, we have in the SEC, we have SEC regular season champion. We have SEC tournament champion. Those are two totally different things. I make two different t-shirts for it. But do we have national championship tournament champion? Do we have March Madness tournament champion? You should. Because it is a totally separate thing. Look, I grew up, I mean, March Madness was like, I don't know what, top one or two things in sporting events to watch. I get it. I like those little weird upsets. A 5-12, that doesn't bother me. But, I mean, it's not telling you who the best team is. Again, anything can happen in sports on any given night. Let's just take it down to the bread and butter. Anything can happen in sports. And a playoff is supposed to answer the unanswerable question. We can't have, especially in college football, it's the hardest system in the world because there's so many teams and so few games. You can't have everybody play everybody. So you should find the champion of this group, the champion of this group, the champion of this group, and the champion of this group, and they play together. A team that finished third in their conference, fourth in their conference, second, even second, were they the best team in their small group? No. So how in the world can they be the best team of the entire group? If you are not the best of 16, the best of 12, the best of 10, it is physically whatever. Let's think of every physically, mathematically, whatever, programmatically, every word that ends in adically. It is impossible for them to be the best team. Literally impossible. So this is why I don't care that Arizona State was the four seed. I don't care. You know why? Because they won their conference. You know who didn't win their conference? Texas, Clemson, Tennessee, Ohio State, SMU, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame. They didn't win. They should not even be in it because we already have the answer to the question. The tournament should be the playoff tournament, whatever you want to call it. That is there to answer the unanswerable question. Why is it unanswerable? Because we can't play a million games and figure it all out. So you have a set number of games, a regular season that lasts 3 or 4 months. You find the best in these groups, and you put them together. And they figure out who's the best of these groups. But no, we care about money, commercials, and Joe Superfan Simpleton just wants to watch more football. I get it. It is fun to see these games. It's fun, but that's not determining the best team. For example, the four best champions all lost, or the top four seeds all lost. I'm sure you noticed that. Boise State shouldn't be a top champion, a top seed. I get that. If we're talking about 12, no, they should not be three. But they won their, again, group of five. That's a whole other argument. Arizona State, I get it. They won their conference. Oregon won it. Georgia won it. Notre Dame's weird, but obviously decent. But that's it. The playoffs are not for your enjoyment. I'm sorry. The TV spectacle is for your enjoyment. But determining the best team is not for your enjoyment. It is not for let's throw every game out there and make them matter. I'm all for 100 bowl games. I'm all for that. I'm not one of those that goes, this is so dumb. Y'all realize the last bowl game before the semifinals, like the last non-playoff game, is Liberty and Buffalo in the Bahamas at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. I'm fine with that. Give you something to watch while you're doing nothing on a Saturday. I'm not one of those idiots, and I know we've got the other half that goes, there's never too many bowl games. I'm fine with that. But that's it. That is a playoff right there. The playoff is to answer the unanswerable question. Here's a question I have the answer to. Texas did not win the SEC, so that means they can't be the best team. Now they're in the semifinals. Simpletons, guys that just want to eat nachos and watch from their couch, are sitting here going, well, look, they obviously are the best because they're in the top four. No. They won a game against the 12-seed Clemson that 100% should not have been in any sort of playoff, and then they beat Arizona State in overtime. That doesn't make them the best team or one of the best teams. They're good, but they were not number one in the group of 16. How can they be number one in the group of 120? Mathematically impossible. Ohio State, 8-seed. Did not win their thing. Right now, they look like the best team in the world. But why are we putting these two games right now over everything else? Over there, they already lost to Oregon. Oregon had to beat them again. Why should Oregon have to beat them again? Good job, Oregon. You went undefeated and beat Ohio State. Now you got to beat them again. Why? Because Doritos and Dr. Pepper paid ESPN a lot of money. That's why. And you like seeing that game. Was it a good game? No. Was it surprising? Yes. So does that make it good? I don't know. So let's go to that point. I saw somebody tweet yesterday, I'm so mad that we have to watch these really exciting games with the expanded playoffs, basically saying the expanded playoffs are good because you got to watch an exciting game. I can put two middle school teams on the field and it could be an exciting game. Does that mean they deserve to be in the playoffs? Does that mean expanding it is a good thing? No, it just means that those two teams on that four-hour span just happen to be playing a good game. That's what that means. That doesn't mean, again, I was talking about earlier, I was going to talk about justification. People are justifying this expansion because the game was good. Let's be honest, half of them have not been good, but the game was good. That is not justification. That does not tell me, oh, this is going to help us figure out the unanswerable question because this game is good. No, Texas fell apart in the second half. That's what that meant. That's what that meant. Tennessee was not ready. I mean, whatever. That's all that meant. Getting in the playoffs should take something, should take some sort of accomplishment. I'll go back to 2017. Alabama got in the playoffs after not winning their division, not even playing in the SEC championship. Auburn won the division by the old standard before SEC championships games, won the SEC regular season, had the best regular season record, beat Georgia, beat Alabama, killed them. Auburn had to go then. Congratulations, Auburn. You get to play Georgia again, who gets a second shot at you in their hometown. So, and then Alabama gets to go to the playoffs, and then didn't they win the first game? Was that the year? I think they won it. I can't remember. Yeah, I think they won the thing. And the response was, see, obviously they were the best team. No. They were put in a group of four and happened to win two games. You could put 20 teams in their spot, 40 teams in their spot, and they could potentially knock off whoever they played in the semifinal and potentially win the national championship. I know there are people's brains blowing up right now because they can't think this simply, even though they're thinking extremely simply, because all they care about is, oh, good TV, good football. I like this game. Give me more. Give me more. That's fine. I've watched pretty much every game. Some of them were good. Some of them were fun. That's fine. But if you're playing a playoff, it should answer the unanswerable question. And for seven of these teams, we know the answer. They're not the best team because they weren't the best team in their own conference. Notre Dame's the kind of the outlier. They lost to Northern Illinois. But again, you can't look at this and go, Ohio State's killing these teams. They killed Tennessee, who was not great, and they beat Oregon the second time around. They look good, and they're probably going to win it all. That doesn't mean that they should have been given that shot. You should have to do something to get the shot. They didn't do anything. They lost to Michigan the last week of the season, who, what, had six wins, seven wins? Again, I know I'm just the old 42-year-old curmudgeon that hates fun. I'm not saying I hate fun. I'm just saying these justifications for expanding, it's all based on fun emotion. I got to sit here and eat my nachos on the couch and watch a lot of football. You can do that without it being the playoffs. And then the other response I get when I tell people what I'm saying here is every sport in the nation does it this way. I don't care. I don't like those other sports as much as this. The MLB is just as dumb. The wild card stuff in the NFL and MLB is just as dumb. 2 years ago, the Diamondbacks were six games over 500 and they made it to the World Series. Why? Because they got a chance to play these two little postseason things. You know, the Braves had to sit out just like this tournament. The first four seeds all lost. They all had a bye week. The Braves had a bye that year in the playoffs. It got beat out because they sat while, you know, the Diamondbacks ended up winning a little five-game series. That doesn't make it right. They added the wild card, and they flat out said this was because they wanted to add more markets and have more teams involved, more money, more people going to games, more cities that didn't just give up on baseball because their team wasn't in the playoffs. It's the same thing in the NFL. Instead of four teams or whatever it was, now it's 12, isn't it, or whatever it is, just like now. Again, I love college football. I love watching the games. I'm turned off when I see a quarterback that's been there 1 year or this is his third team and all that because he didn't get to start at the place before or the other team offered him $2 million. That's not college football. Sorry. And I know some people don't care because all they care about is their nachos and having fun watching the TV screen. But again, if it continues this way, it is going to fizzle. The NIL portal stuff. NIL is fine, but that's not what we have. Name, image, and likeness is not give me a truck and I'll go to your school. That's not what that is. Name, image, and likeness is I scored a bunch of touchdowns. You're selling my jersey. I should get 20%. Okay, 100% agree. Go right ahead. Here's your 20% along with everything else you need in college, all the food, clothes, books, everything you would ever need. Don't forget that part. But, I mean, we have the absolute Wild West. We spent decades lambasting teams, acting, using the word dirty, using the word whatever, just the dirtiest words you could call a team if you ever thought their team paid a player. And now it's just like, look, we paid him more than you. We stuffed you in a locker. I mean, it has killed portal. It's killed signing day. It used to be about team pride, and like, hey, he wanted to come to our school. He liked our stadium, our fan base, our coach, our whatever. Now it's, hey, our car salesman gave him $3 million. Deal with it. Poverty program. Stuff you in a locker. I'm telling you, it is just creating a terrible outcome. Normalizing what we are normalizing in college sports, it is going to kill it. It's going to kill what we used to love about it. It 100% is. I'm 42. I'm not 100. I still consider myself semi-young. I grew up watching this sport and have had a website about it for 15 years now. It is for no money at all. It is something I'm very passionate about. And to see it turn into the NFL with no rules is ridiculous. But your team won, or we stuffed Ole Miss in a locker, or our coach promised him more money, so we're better than you. That's what it's turned into. It's not, hey, this freshman, he couldn't get on the field until he was a junior, and now he's leading the SEC in rushing. It's not that anymore. It's, oh, he was the backup at Tennessee. We got him. We got $2 million. We're bringing him over. Be excited. It's just, that's not, I care about it more than our score was higher than yours. And the play, I know they're semi-related. It's just, it's all money, capitalism. Get it. I want some money. I need money. Give it to me. I agree. We all want money. But just NIL portal, the fake NIL portal, and then now just allowing crap teams into this system and justifying it because the game was fun that you got to watch on your Christmas break. That's not it. It's not it. That's not what you're trying to do. That is not what sports are about. They're not, it is not figuring out the best team anymore. It's throwing in as many fan bases that will spend money. And then whatever comes out on top, sure, we're going to call that the champion. Hey, didn't they lose four games and lose by 30 to Ole Miss? Or didn't they like finish third in their conference? Yeah, but you know, they won three games at the end of the season. So that's the best team. That's not it. Anyway, I've been wanting to say that a long time. I want to put that on a shirt. The playoffs are there to answer the unanswerable question. And right now, the four teams in the playoffs, the four teams left. Notre Dame is just, that's a whole other thing. I get it. They lost one game. They're not in a conference. They make it this argument semi-weird, but every team there did not do anything. Texas won nothing. Ohio State won nothing and lost a terrible game at the end of the season. Penn State won nothing. Congratulations. You got put into this pool of teams and you have come out on top. They did nothing. The answer to their question is they were not the best in their conference. They can't be the best in the nation. Unless You are going to call this a tournament and call them the tournament champion, and it's not the best team in the nation. Then what else do you have? How are we going to determine the national champion? Oh, boy. Okay. All right. This New Year's, I told you one of my resolutions was going to be to do a podcast every week. Probably hope to put them out on Fridays. That way we can kind of wrap up, you know, talk about the midweek basketball game, talk about the next one coming up. But here's, I did have some New Year's resolutions. Again, podcast once a week. I want to do two posts a day on warbloggle.com. If I'm trying to expand, been trying to do it, I've expanded a little bit. If you are interested in blogging, writing, doing podcast stuff, I'm going to eventually invite people on here. I've got Baby Bloggle, who is now 15. He's just like me and talks just like this. He's going to come on sometimes. I've got a few guys in our Discord that are going to come on, other guys that have written for me. We'll get some guests and all of that. So if you would like to join to write podcasts, do video stuff, I can TikTok and all that kind of stuff, but I'd really like somebody who can, like this podcast right now, I want somebody who can throw something in there, a clip from that within 20 minutes and throw it on there. But if you're interested in all of that, message me on Twitter. I will never say X. Twitter, email me, go to the site, put a comment on a post. But yes, I'd like to post two posts a day for the rest of the year. Podcast advertisers, website advertisers, if you're interested in advertising, got a decent following, 80,000 or so on Twitter, about the same on Facebook and Instagram. So yeah, there's some visibility to be had if you're interested. And I'd love to turn this into a paying gig for people. It's been something that I've gotten some cool stuff out of, money not being one of them, and that's fine, other than the GoFundMe that I stole from people during Christmas for the national championship. But yes, just, you know, I'd like for this to be a thing. I've got ideas that I've had for years now, moving into non-Auburn stuff, whether it's sports, music, movies, all that kind of stuff, just kind of having a non-Auburn everything site, all the things I like to do, music, other sports, movies, video game stuff sometimes. If you're interested in any of that, join the team. Just let me know. I have a Discord. We talk about all this kind of stuff there. I'd like to expand Warbloggle or Bloggle stuff into other SEC teams. You know, I've gotten close with a few, just kind of following the same format, throw the same sort of blog style out there and have a writer or two kind of do the same stuff. And then, so if you are a non-Auburn fan or you have dual fanship, you have a parent that went to Georgia or you actually went to Tennessee or whatever, let me know. We can do something. And then lastly, I need a job. This is not my job. If you have a job, I can do all sorts of website media things. But yeah, thanks. So never mind. So yes, despite me yelling, 2025 is going to be a good year. Auburn's going to win a national championship in something. I've tweeted that. Of course, every Bammer said swimming and diving or equestrian. I was like, okay, is that bad? Is that bad that that's the national championship? No. But yes, Auburn's going to win a championship in something in 2025. I guess it could be 2026 too, because no, that doesn't matter. We're going to win the World Series this year in baseball and baseball and softball. We're final four in basketball minimum. And then football is going to win the SEC minimum, but we're going to win a national championship in something. All right. Again, let me know, if you'd like to join, if you'd like to do anything on the site, or if you'd just like to get in our Discord and talk about it and help with behind the scenes stuff. I really would like to grow this thing more than it has been. But it's been a weird, long journey of getting to do cool stuff and meet cool people and go cool places. Went to the ESPYs, went to all kinds of stuff. But I'd like to kind of grow it and make it more of a media center, a media mogul. So if you're interested, let me know. And hold me to doing these podcasts every week. If I don't do one next week for some reason, cuss me out in direct message. All right. So this is podcast number 17, Warbloggle podcast number 17, first of 2025, first of at least 52. That's it. War Eagle.